Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very fine day of Friday, October 25th, 2013. What a day it's been. It's Friday. Woohoo, TGIF. And good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Going to change things up a little bit, change things around a little bit.
You can't remember. You can't remember. That's what it is. We're not changing things. This happens more as you get older. I can tell you. I know. I change things a lot myself because sometimes I don't remember what they were supposed to be.
That's not true. I just like a little change and
variety.
My little new addition, Ruby, is right here by my feet while we're doing the program here in the broadcast room, and
she's just close to your ankles. You know that.
If you hear a little yelp, that means my chair rolled over. But anyway, I'm sure the listeners don't want to hear about little Ruby, so let's get. But I bet they do want to hear about gold and silver today. Gold was up. We're looking. Up $5 today at $1,353. Silver, I couldn't make it to the upside, down just 16 cents, 2267. We have platinum up $7 for $1,457, and palladium was down 5, kind of followed silver there at $746. The USDX today, I had a little bit of a reversal as it's still trading in after hours. You're looking down 0.03. at 79.17. It was up a little bit for most of the day. Crude oil today was up almost a buck at 97.95. And let's see what the paper markets did today. Didn't follow them today, but I think they were all to the
They leave
upside.
A trail of little kernels of corn.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, so you can follow them even if they're kind of down. On the road, you can follow the little golden trail of the corn there, but go ahead.
The yellow brick road.
Mm-hmm.
The S&P again ended the week at a record closing high. Tech stocks, they were advancing, so it gave the S&P an edge. The Dow was up about 1% for the week. It was up today at 61 at 15,570. The NASDAQ was up 14 points at 3943. S&P up 7 at 1759.77. The 10-year yield, 2.50 on the yield, down 0.02. Actually, people in Missouri should be very happy. I see that gas prices actually slipped below $3 in Missouri. So today, that was the first time that it's dollars 2.991. I'm not sure where that was exactly, whether it was in Kansas City or St. Louis or for the state overall, but had the lowest gas prices in the country, according to the Voters Club AAA.
That should increase tourism to Missouri.
Should.
People are going to be taking their vacations and saying, forget Las Vegas and Disney World, I'm going to Missouri.
Missouri is a very
get
nice
some
state.
Cheap gas.
There's some beautiful areas in beautiful areas in Missouri. I mean, I lived there, quite a few years, but very nice. Very nice state. Mm-hmm. Very nice people. Actually, we got great people. People who listen to the program all over the country, all over the world. And it'd be interesting to hear some from our foreign listeners to see how they actually heard our government played out and see how the reporting was. But anyway, what's next, Al?
Well, we could talk about TSA agents give themselves $17 million pay raise by changing title, but doing no additional work. This is in the Washington Times. $17.5 million. That's how much investigators say. Yeah, it's not a lot of money. That's how much investigators say has been spent on premium salaries for Transportation Security Administration employees who've been promoted without doing any additional work.
Okay? Only in America.
Mm-hmm. Is this a great country or what? You don't actually have to work for your money. You know, what an outdated idea that is. They got to do is show up, and the
change
less you do,
shirt.
The more you get. You know? You know, I've said for years that much of government employment is nothing but glorified welfare. The difference between government employment and welfare is people on welfare can stay home. Government, well, we work for the government. You actually have to get up in the morning and put on a plain suit or tie or whatever and go to work. And then you come back in the evening. But other than that, it's pretty much the same. That's an exaggeration, but there's some truth to it. And this article is a little bit of evidence of that. It's one of those things that's at least consistent. They gave 124 employees of the Transportation and Safety Administration. These are the people who will frisk you if you go to the try to take off in an airplane. They're going to need to radiate you or run a metal detector or something around your body, or maybe frisk you, take you off for a private frisking. And 124 of them got a special raise that could amount to $17.5 million over 5 years. Now, it's not a lot of money. By government standards, this isn't even this amount of money gets lost on a regular basis. Nobody cares about it. But an additional $17 million is peanuts to today's gargantuan government. And dividing that $17.5 million over 5 years means the government's only handing out an extra $3.5 million to TSA employees per year, but it's 124 employees. Again, $3.5 million is peanuts by government standards, but $3.5 million divided equally among 124 investigators is equal to an extra and unearned $28,000 per year per criminal investigator working for TSA. It's $28,000 a year raise, and you're not doing any more work. You understand? They just changed your title. It's like being hired to be you're hired to be the mail boy at some major corporation, and then somebody increases your title to senior vice president in charge of whatever, and you get a $28,000 a year raise. Now, you're still the mail boy. You're still just pushing a little cart and delivering the mail. But you got a new title. And so you get an extra 28 grand a year. again, that's not a lot of money by government standards, but insofar as it's unearned and double what retirees might hope to collect on Social Security, it's wrong. You know, handing out that extra money, it's wrong. It's morally wrong. And it's particularly wrong to be granting unearned raises to government employees to be paid for by taxpayers when the economy is in recession. The middle class is disappearing and the taxpayers are increasingly impoverished, but the government is saying, baby, let the good times roll. Let's hand out some more raises. I mean, who do these people in TSA think they are? Congress? What do you think, Melody?
Well, I'm sure the people who, you know, it comes from the top down. I mean, that's where you really do have a trickle down is in government employees. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that are the employees that, you know, probably don't have any control. They've just given the bonus. And
it's only 124 people.
But you know,
this is where they handed out bonuses.
That is just the top.
These are the chosen 124.
You know what? The TSA was supposed to have out all those, you know, where you stand there and they zap you.
Yep.
Where they can see through your clothes. They were supposed to have all of those machines out. I think it was by June. And my recent flight to pick up Ruby, they were still at the airport. So
the machines were there. They were
being used.
Mm.
They were being used. So
maybe they found a way to tax those machines, and therefore they're being used.
So it's you know, there's just so much that you know they come out and say that they're supposed to be doing, and of course it never gets done. But you know what? You talked yesterday about our first. What we talked about yesterday about our faith and the
loss of faith,
the consequences mm-hmm. of it. And I think this is a sign. I mean, just if you look at the wages that are being paid to the corporations, I mean, these numbers are just so mind-boggling anymore as far as what people make and for what they do. You know,
the Rand Institute. Yeah. Rand Institute did a study back a few years ago, and I think it was reported about 2 years ago, where they calculated that the average federal employee was being paid double what he could expect to make doing the same job in the private sector. Now, that was average. And they weren't just talking about 124. They're talking about average for hundreds of thousands, if not a couple of million people who work for the federal government, not the military, of course. But if you're in the bureaucracy, their calculation was you're making about double what you could expect to make doing the same work in the private sector. Where's that extra pay coming from? It's coming from the poor saps who work in the private sector, and they actually pay taxes to the government, and they are taking money that they might be able to spend on themselves or their children, and they're sending it off to government so the people in government can live large. And it's wrong. And then on top of being paid double what they're worth while they're employees of the federal government, then when they retire, often at only 20 years, while the rest of the saps have to work for until they're 60, 65 years old before they can retire, some of these government people can retire at age 40 or thereabouts. And then they get to collect, 40 years of retirement? And their retirement will be substantially more than the people who actually worked for a living and received Social Security are going to receive. And what's actually happening here is the government is endeavoring to create an elite class of people who work for the government and have such a strong financial interest in that employment that they're not going to be willing to hear what's right and wrong. You take the average government employee who's been making double what he's worth, that means he's got a house that's twice as large, twice as expensive as he can legitimately afford to provide doing the work he's doing. If he loses that government job, he's going to lose his house. He can't make the mortgage payment. He's probably got double the cars he can actually afford in the true free market. If he loses his government job, he's going to lose the cars. His wife will probably divorce him. Once he loses that government job, there's a high probability the financial stress will cause his wife to file for divorce. Within 2 years, on average, he'll probably lose all contact with his children. He has a vested interest to keep this government system afloat. Because if he doesn't, he's going to lose everything he's got financially, or at least not everything necessarily, but a great deal. And it's wrong because it causes people in government to recognize they have a vested interest in going along with the racket. If they were making the same in government as they could make in the private sector, they could afford to stand up on their hind legs and tell the truth and blow the whistle and expose corruption, injustice, crimes committed within the government. But as long as they're being paid double what they're worth, they're not going to do it. It's bad business for everyone to overpay the government. It's bad business for the taxpayers. It's bad business for the nation. It's even, you know, I won't say it's bad for the government exactly, but it's good for them, but only in the sense of encouraging people to be a bunch of crooks. But what else, Melody?
Well, this just came out, and again, and I don't mean to keep going back to the loss of faith, but the Air Force Academy cadets are no longer required to say, "So help me God," at the end of the honor oath. School officials said today that the words were made optional after a complaint from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, an advocacy group. Academy superintendent...
Well, tell that advocacy group it can stick it where the sun doesn't shine. That's what I advocate. I advocate catching that advocacy group and taking their opinion and stuffing it.
Academy superintendent, Lieutenant General Michelle Johnson, says the change was made to respect cadets' freedom of religion. The oath states, "We will not lie, steal, or cheat, nor tolerate among us anyone who does. Furthermore, I resolve to do my duty honorably, so help me God." The Academy says cadets are required to take the oath once when they formally enter the school after boot camp. The school outside Colorado Springs has about 4,000 cadets. When they graduate, they're commissioned as second lieutenants. Interesting.
It's just another one of these things. It's another one of the signs. I don't know what they think they're doing, but they're just tearing this country apart. And it's being torn apart by our own government. They are the principal enemies, adversaries of the people of the United States of America. And this isn't news, and it's not radical point. It's not a radical opinion. It is the fundamental idea behind the Constitution. It's the fundamental idea behind limited government. It's the fundamental idea behind the Bill of Rights. Every bit of that government, the three branches of government, elections every 2 years for Congress, 6 years for the Senate, 4 for the President, it's intended to allow us to throw the SOBs out, although we seldom do. The reason for the all of the Bill of Rights is to protect the people of this country against the abuse or misconstruction of the powers of the Constitution by the federal government, and that's with the term abuse and the term misconstruction of the powers of the Constitution. That's right there in the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Document that very few people see or even realize exists. The purpose was to protect us against the government. The Constitution is an inherently anti-government document. It recognizes that government is something like a necessary evil. You got to have it, all right? But it's always dangerous. The founders understood that. The American people have lost sight of that. We've been bamboozled into thinking the government is here to help us. But as we were talking about earlier in the program, if they're paying their help double what they're worth, they're not here to help us. They're here to help themselves. And we see evidence after evidence to support that opinion. And one of these days, the American people are going to figure out that the principal adversary to our freedoms, to our prosperity, is our own government. And if that message ever spreads and promulgates across this nation, we may see some changes that will do this country some good. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, do the folks need a special today?
I just want to remind the folks, the listeners, that you got one more week in order to make a purchase with Discount Gold and Silver, so your name gets placed in a drawing that we'll have on the 1st of November, which is a Mint State 62 $10 Indian and a tube of 1 ounce 2013 Silver Eagles. So we're going to continue with the special. The special with the $5 Liberty and the free Silver Eagle and free shipping, that did bump up in price. It bumped up by about $25. Gold is up that much. That's how long we kept that price at that lower level. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 for your $5 Liberty gold piece, along with a free Silver Eagle, free shipping on that. And again, I want to remind the listeners, beginning Monday at the 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time program, Monday through Friday, which is currently heard on frequency 6.875, is going to be changed to 6.115. So get your pencils out, your papers, 6.115 for those who listen to the 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time of Financial Survival. So,
okay, we got a caller from New Jersey. Paul is on the line. Paul, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon. Melody, now you're talking about the Constitution. We haven't had a Constitution since the Civil War.
Well, that depends.
I understand
the argument that it might not. Some people say it isn't lawful. The Constitution, Constitution is absolutely has as much force as the American people say it has. Right? If 300 million people stand up and say that Constitution is still in full force and effect, it is still in full force and effect.
Right.
And some of the governments will stress that it's just a certain amount of nonsense. And insofar as we go along with it out of ignorance, apathy, whatever, well, it can go. But the first time we all get up off the couch at the same time and say, look, that Constitution is valid, everybody in government is going to have to obey. It's up to us, though, to enforce.
Get rid of the Federal Reserve first.
Well, there's a lot of things. You know,
we've been under communism since 1913. Federal Reserve, income tax, estate taxes, inherited taxes. You don't own your own property. We've been under communism since then, and they locked it in 1933.
Well, we've been under collective form of government. I agree with that. Democracy is a collectivist form of government. Well, it's not just unconstitutional. Government has done some pulled some interesting stunts, and under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the Constitution, government has exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the territories. Right?
Oh, I understand that, but still, you pay the income tax?
Well, the check is in the mail, Paul.
Yeah, well, see, we're not under the Constitution. We're under the UCC, Universal Commercial Code.
It's presumed there is some validity to what you're talking about. But the fundamental presumption behind that validity is that we have volunteered to be subject to this alternative system. That presumption is false. It's maintained because the public don't understand doesn't understand what happens. I got that. All right, Paul, we got to let you go. Talk to you another time. Thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks. Melody, what's next?
Well, I do want to, I think maybe at break time, we seem to have an audio problem, and we'll probably need to reconnect. We'll do that during the break, so we might take a little bit longer break here in the next 10 minutes. So see if we, because we keep dropping out, so we'll see how it goes.
Video problem, too. I can't see anything on the radio right now, Melody.
Did I say audio or video?
Yeah, you said audio.
Oh,
I just thought I'd add video. Video is not working very well today either.
Well, never mind. Let's move on before I get in trouble here. Let's move on.
All right, what's next?
I don't know.
There's one.
We should talk
Rand
finance.
Paul. No one is above the law, but Congress. All right, talk finances. You want to talk finances? Talk finances.
You know what? Rand Paul, he's actually going to stand up to Janet Yellen's nomination. Yeah, because he wants his bill recognized to audit the Fed, to audit the Federal Reserve. So I don't know if he's going to do some sort of filibuster or not, but he needs 40 others to back him in order for it to do anything, but at least he's making a stand and wanting his bill to be passed that says that the Federal Reserves need to be audited. And they do.
Well, I agree.
And they
I
do.
Agree. I mean, another thing that needs to be audited is the actual supply of gold our government still owns. The government claims to have 8,200 tons of gold. And they claim to have had the same amount of gold for, I don't know, 30 years anyway, 20, 30 years. And then an actual inventory has not been conducted since 1953. 60 years we have trusted the government to keep track. They say they've got 8,200 tons of gold, and no one really knows. And when Rand Paul's father, Ron, when he tried to get that done, he was effectively stonewalled. They gave a little ground on inventorying the gold, but it wasn't a real inventory. It was just kind of a photo op. You go there and have your picture taken in front of a cage that has a bunch of something in it that looks like gold, but who knows what it is? Is it gold? Is it tungsten? What is it really? It will be illuminating. And the idea that they won't tell us, they won't inventory the gold. All by itself, it's at least suspicious. It may be that the gold is significantly missing, and if so, where did it go? Did it go to China, or did it go into some politician's private vaults? Where is the gold? Who knows? And who is responsible? And they're going to be, if it turns out that a significant amount of gold is missing, who's going to be held responsible? Given that no one has inventoried in 60 years, everybody's going to point the finger 100 different ways, and in the end, we're going to get nothing but perhaps a couple of wrist slaps. Haven't inventoried the gold. We don't have straight numbers on unemployment, don't have straight numbers on inflation, don't have... The government lies to us on a routine basis and conceals the truth from us whenever possible, or at least whenever it's in the government's interest to do so. It's all evidence that something is fundamentally wrong with the culture of government. And whatever it is that's wrong up there will not be improved by passing new rules and regulations that make, so help me God, optional on the Air Force cadets' oaths of office. The further we get away from God, the more trouble we're going to get into. And we're headed for a lot of trouble. Political, financial. Melody, you wanted to talk about financial. Do we have, where do you want to go with this? Melody? Well, whatever is going on.
Yes, I'm here.
You're here. You're out playing with Ruby. Is what's going on?
No, that's not true. That's not true.
You mute the button so you can play with Ruby, and then when it's time for you to talk, we can't hear the dog growling or barking or yipping or anything else, and we can't hear you.
Let's talk about Richard Duncan, economist. And he talks about the civilization may not survive the death spiral.
Yeah, exactly. And this is an article that appeared on a publication called Money Morning. MONEY MORNING. Money Morning.
But he said this on CNBC.
No, it might be. This is where I have the article. And the point I'm getting to is if someone wanted to, if you want to read this, this article is worth your time. Again, economist Richard Duncan, civilization may not survive death spiral.
We can post it in our newsletter this weekend and coins.com.
Okay. This is really an extraordinary article. It's a group of professionals with pretty good credentials. Richard Duncan, he was formerly of the World Bank and chief economist at Black Horse Asset Management. And another guy named Kotlikoff, a member of President Reagan's Council on Economic Advisors. And there's a handful more. A team of scientists, economists, and geopolitical analysts believe they have proof that the threat facing our nation is real and the danger is imminent. And that's the words they have down here. They are talking first about the debt, and they're explaining that according to the debt, even with America's $16 trillion debt, we have escalated into what they describe as a death spiral. They go on and they point out another man by the name of Kotlikoff estimates the true fiscal gap is $211 trillion, which is what we've been telling you on the program for a couple of years now. Congressional Budget Office, they calculated, 2 years ago, that the true national debt, including unfunded liabilities, was about $202 trillion. Obama and company tells us it's 16 and now 17, and I don't know where it's going from here. $17 trillion. Real number is 10 times or more greater than what's being reported by the government. What they talk about in this article and what they make clear is that we found in here, here's what gets in here. Chris Martinson, a pathologist and former vice president of a Fortune 300 company, explains their findings. He said, we found an identical pattern in our debt, total credit market, and money supply. Now, I'm hearing a commercial.
No. That must
well,
be...
Well, I am.
That must be on your end.
I don't think so. Well, it certainly was heard at this end, but I mean, we've got something's going on with the.
And we're really not crazy, folks.
No, absolutely not. Let me readjust my tinfoil hat here. I think it may have been cinched up a little too tight. And you know how that affects me?
Yes.
You know how that affects me when I get too much pressure on my temples?
From that tinfoil, yes.
And here is, Frank is sending us an instant message. He says, it's not coming from this end. And Frank, you're just in a state of denial. You understand? The first step toward recovery is you got to take a little responsibility for these things. In any case, here's Chris Martinson, a pathologist, and they studied a number of different problems in this country, and they said what we found is an identical pattern in our debt, in our national debt, total credit market, and money supply that guarantees they're going to fail, guarantees they're going to fail. This pattern is nearly the same as in any pyramid scheme, one that escalates exponentially fast before it collapses. Governments around the globe are chiefly responsible. These are credible people making these claims. And what's disturbing about these findings is that the pattern isn't limited to our economy. We found the same catastrophic pattern in our energy, food, and water systems as well. These systems could all implode at the same time. Food, water, energy, money, everything. What this pattern represents is a dangerous countdown clock that's quickly approaching zero. And when it does, the resulting chaos is going to crush Americans. This is one of Keith Fitzgerald, president of the Fitzgerald Group, went on. He's one of the members of this group. Dr. Kent Moore is an advisor to 16 world governments. He goes on and says, most frightening of all is how this exact same pattern keeps appearing in virtually every system critical to our society and way of life. And what is the pattern? The pattern is hard to see at first, this is according to Dr. Moore, unless you understand the way a catastrophe like this gains traction. At first, it's almost impossible to perceive. Everything looks fine, just like every pyramid scheme. Yet the insidious growth of the virus keeps doubling in size over and over again in shorter and shorter periods of time until it hits unsustainable levels and it collapses the system. This is the pattern he's talking about. And for example, he has, for 30 years, from 1940s to 1970s, our total credit market debt was moderate and entirely reasonable. But then in 7 years, from 1970 to 1977, it quickly doubled. And then it doubled again in 7 more years. Then 5 years to double a third time. And then it doubled 2 more times after that. Now, his point is this doubling, particularly in shorter and shorter, is this is part of this, what they perceive to be a pattern that's affecting energy and water and money and the economy and debt. And they're saying this is nothing but trouble and it can't end well. This is not so far removed from the same warnings that we've been trying to communicate, although we haven't identified the pattern and explained it the way they have in terms of the problems doubling in size in shorter and shorter periods. But when they say at first it's almost impossible to perceive, everything looks fine. They're right, right? This is a very difficult situation to look at and perceive, and you sit back and say, it's hard to even believe your own eyes sometimes. You think you see a problem, and it's so faint. It's so subtle that you can't help but think, oh, you're exaggerating. You're succumbing to conspiracy theories of some sort. But these guys are saying, no, that's part of the problem. This stuff is hard to see. And when if you're among the first people to see it, everybody's going to think you're crazy. Later on, they might change their mind. But initially, you're going to be ostracized, ignored, whatever. But if you see it and you report it and people begin to see this, they can perhaps help themselves. The article concludes that people need to begin to make preparations with their investments, retirement savings, and personal finances before it's too late. These people see big trouble and not so far from now. I'm Alfred Addis, geared financial survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, probably gold and silver coin needs. We were talking about an article that appeared that I saw in a publication called Money Morning, and the article is entitled Economist Richard Duncan, : Civilization May Not Survive Death Spiral. This is really an extraordinary article, and it's put together by half a dozen or ten, a group of individuals. I'm not sure how many are involved in this association, but half a dozen or ten. And they have come to some conclusions where they're saying, look, the whole system is in great jeopardy right now. And we're gonna move on to other things, but I want to just get this across to you. You can Google this. Civilization may not survive death spiral. All right? You write that down. Civilization may not survive death spiral. If you write that down and you Google that, you'll find the article. You might have to go through a couple at the top, but you will find the article, and it is compelling. It appears credible. It doesn't appear to be just, you know, the usual alarmist, the sky is falling. They've got something else. They're not saying the sky is falling. They are saying that every bit of the foundation is crumbling. And it's not going to be the sky that falls, but it might be even our civilization, because they're arguing. They don't just see this in the debt system. They don't just see it in the financial system. They see it in energy. They see it in water. They see it almost wherever they're looking, that the problems are doubling every few years, and then they double again in even less years, and this tells them this cannot be sustained much longer. It'd be a good idea for you to read that article. And Melody, we'll get a fresh copy of the article and apparently reprint it in this weekend's edition of American Survival, because yes, it certainly does go to survival.
Well, yeah, I mean, and what's interesting is they were interviewed on CNBC, so, you know, to have a mainstream nation to even spend a little bit of time on something like that, it's very interesting.
Yeah, they've got an It's interesting and it's persuasive. We'll watch and see how true it turns out to be, but they are warning that there's more going on. It's not just, you know, one or two things. It's like everything at once could fail at once. That's a catastrophe. It's a problem if the financial system goes down. It's a catastrophe if the financial system, the energy system, and the water system go down at the same time. People are going to die. Lots of them. Not a handful. Lots. Right? So, what else we got, Melody?
But also, isn't that what they want? It's kind of an elimination of population, you know?
Yeah, I hear that. We hear those kinds of stories. I don't know that they want it. I think they're willing to accept it. You know, the people in positions of power won't mind if the great unwashed are thinned considerably. They're willing to pay that price so long as they don't have to pay it. But you can't release this kind of trouble and assume anyone is immune. There's no telling what happens in the chaos and the instability that follows. You can find a brand new system of government that suddenly asserts itself in the aftermath. And this new system of government, it might be no more civil than a biker gang. It could be nothing but just power of the fittest. I mean, as unlikely as that's, survival of the fittest. Whoever's strongest rules. I'm not making a prediction. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't even expect it to happen. But I'm saying you don't want to just let this whole system collapse if you're sitting there holding the levers of power right now, because when the system collapses, those levers aren't going to be worth anything. And then the question becomes, with all the land and the homes and the cars and everything else you've got, how much can you defend? You know, you're going to have your own little army to protect you and all of your possessions. And if the army decides who needs you, then what? You know, you might be a fat old man who thinks he owns a lot. You're a rich man. You're used to pushing people around. If the whole thing goes down, who's to say that the captain of your guard doesn't decide, hey, this is a nice house. I think I'm going to take it over. And how are you going to stop him? I mean, the whole thing gets strange. I won't argue that anybody really wants this to go down. I won't say they don't, but I mean, it's a kind of insanity if you want... You want to take that risk. Oh, what else, Melody?
Obamacare. Got to talk about that at least once this week.
Once a week.
You know, there's
once a day, once an hour.
More and more states are coming out warning against the fraud that people are going to see. You know, how bad the enrollments have been. Even some of the Democrats now, they're a little worried about their elections for next year. So now even some of the Democrats are now coming out saying, well, maybe we should postpone. And I guess they did postpone it for 6 weeks or something like that. But if you're a person that has been canceled, that really doesn't help you out at all. So,
no, I understand.
And I've been told that not only is it going to be hundreds of thousands, but millions of people that have actually get canceled.
On their current insurance policies, and where they're essentially forced into whatever's available.
Whatever's available, yes.
Yep. Here's Senator Mitch McConnell reporting in the Washington Times. He described Obamacare as an expensive joke. Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell Thursday said that the plagued Obamacare rollout has been absolute chaos, and a sign of what's to come from the controversial law, which he called an expensive joke. Here's another article from the Washington Times. Trouble with Obamacare? Perhaps it's by design. Now, this is the kind of thing that you can read and dismiss as just a crazy conspiracy theory, but in fact, it makes a little bit of sense. I'm not going to say it's persuasive necessarily, but it's plausible. You understand? And what he's saying is the article says, look, Obamacare has been so far an unmitigated disaster. He wonders who's responsible. He wonders how can government be so damn stupid it's hard to believe. And then he begins to wonder, and because we can't get good information on what's going on, he says, this leaves us to speculate. As different theories are being considered, a daring question begs to be asked. Is it possible President Obama wants the American Health Care Act to have problems in hopes that Americans will be forced to switch to a single-payer system. Is the real object to provide us with health care right now? And is this program expected to last for years and decades into the future? Is that the intention? Or what he's essentially asking is, did the government intentionally screw things up to put us in a position where we would decide, listen, we can't deal with this. We're going to have a single-payer system, which means the entire health insurance system of the nation would be funded by the government. All right? No more private insurance companies at all. This is an intriguing question, and he goes on to say, a recent clue to this question may have been seen in an interview at PBS's Nevada Week in Review, where Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid spoke freely and favorably about moving toward a government single-payer system for health care. According to Reid, and they're quoting him, he says, what we've done with Obamacare is have a step in the right direction, but we're far from having something that's going to work forever. This is Senator Harry Reid, and he said, look, we know this isn't going to work for long. We got a lot more to do with this. And essentially what the implication is, they just want us to commit to it, and once we get on this particular set of rails, they can take us to a destination that we might not want or imagine. But this is not a final result. This is just a first step. And again, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, what we've done with Obamacare is have a step in the right direction. But we're far from something that's going to work forever. At this point, he was on the interview. The interviewer asked for clarification, and he asked, did Reid intend to suggest that sooner or later America would do away with private health insurance altogether in favor of some kind of uniform coverage? Reid replied, yes, yes, absolutely yes. He elaborated by suggesting that the current form of Affordable Health Care Act was a compromise and necessary first step. First step, meaning there's going to be a second and maybe a third and maybe a tenth. Got a long way to go. And what we are finally talking about here, although we were promised that we'd be able to keep our own insurance policies, our private, wouldn't diminish our access to private health insurance. What we're really seeing here is evidence that the government's real intent is just to get the camel's nose into your tent, and once it's in there, it's only a question of time before we have a fully socialized healthcare system here in the United States. Let's see. And Obama, here's talking about Obama. In a speech in June 30th, 2003, to the AFL-CIO, this is before he's in the White House. Obama said, I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care program. I see no reason why the United States of America, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, spending 14% of its gross national product on health care, cannot provide basic health insurance to everybody. And that's what Jim is talking about when he says everybody in, nobody out. Wants everybody in this system. Nobody out of the system. This is Obama talking 10 years ago. In September 2009, in a speech to Congress, Obama said, first, if you are among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage or your doctor you have. Let me repeat that. Nothing in our plan requires you to change what you have. And yet, while there may not be an express requirement, the rules and regulations that have been imposed on the people by means of Obamacare may make it impossible for a lot of private insurance companies to continue in business. Whatever the reason and explanation, Obama says there's nothing that requires you to get rid of your current insurance policy and your current insurance provider. There are now hundreds of thousands of Americans and probably millions who've already received cancellation notices from their insurers. We are still going to lose that private health care before this is done. So, what do you think, Melody? Is Medicare an unmitigated disaster simply due to government incompetence?
Obamacare.
Or is, what did I say?
Medicare, but Obamacare.
Did I? Okay, Obamacare, sorry. Is Obamacare an unmitigated disaster simply because of government incompetence, or is this disaster by design? Do they want it to fail so they can do something even worse? What do you think?
Oh, I agree. It's probably a combination of both.
I think you're right.
I definitely do believe that it is.
Well, whatever happened.
Much bigger.
See, what happens apparently is the sound drops out when I stop talking, Melody. If I talk over you, then we get sound. If I don't, if I go completely silent, then everything goes silent.
I'm used to being talked over by you, Al.
Well, I understand that, but now it appears that even the technology has backed that up. Whatever is happening, I'm not sure, but we're having dead places in our speech every once in a while.
It's on my end since we made the adjustments, so you just keep talking. But I do believe Obamacare was by design. It is much more evil than what it is meant to be. I mean,
and this is not the end of the line. That's the implication in this. They have much bigger plans. People can, you're yipping and griping and moaning about Obamacare. Yeah, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Apparently, these folks have some big plans in mind for you and me and everyone else in the country. I saw a poster that was put out, ultimately attributed to Ben Stein. I believe that's who it was. But I can't paraphrase the text on the poster clearly. Exactly. But what he said was, Obamacare is bizarre because anyone in this country is going to be obligated to have it, even if you're not a citizen. You don't have to be a citizen to get Obamacare. But you have to have Obamacare even if you're not a citizen. They want everyone in this program.
Scary.
And what we really have to ask ourselves then, do they want us in the program because they want everyone to participate, they want everyone to contribute, they want everyone protected? Or is this program a device to diminish our standing, to diminish our status, our legal status within the country, and subject us to a greater loss of rights? What is Obamacare finally all about? And we'll see if we can get to that on Friday. We're out of time for today, folks. I want to thank all, or on Monday, we'll return on Monday and talk about this a little further. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back on Monday. I'm Alfred Hess here with Melody Cederstrom. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.